All right, ready to dive in. Today we're tackling globalization.
Oh, globalization. It's a big one, isn't it?
It really is. We're going to try to untangle it all, what it means, you know, why it gets some people so riled up.
And how it might be connected to, well, some big economic shakeups.
Exactly. We've got a ton of research to help guide us. You know, speaking of big economic shakeups, I was reading about how container ships, how they completely revolutionized trade.
Oh, yeah. Containerization. Like a secret weapon for globalization. It really shows how much technology can change the way economies interact. Before those containers, shipping was a mess.
Right, like trying to cram mismatched puzzle pieces together.
Yeah, yeah. And then containers came along and boom, everything became so much neater, efficient, and way cheaper to move stuff around.
So is that what they mean by geographic dispersion of activities? I saw that somewhere.
Well, it's part of it. The OECD, they define globalization as the geographic dispersion of industrial and service activities and the cross-border networking of companies.
So it's not just about things being made in different countries, but also about companies, like working together across borders.
Yeah, think about multinational corporations, right? These huge networks, always looking for new markets, lower production costs, and sometimes more favorable tax environments.
Wait, favorable tax environments? That sounds a bit like companies trying to avoid paying taxes.
Well, it's not quite that simple. It's more like what they call tax competition. Countries trying to get businesses to invest by offering lower tax rates or other perks.
So are there any downsides to that? Like a race to the bottom, what happens to workers and the environment?
Yeah, that's a valid concern. When countries are competing so hard for business, they might lower their standards, you know, to make themselves more attractive.
That makes sense. And I guess that leads us to the people who aren't exactly thrilled about globalization, right? The anti-globalization movement. What are their biggest worries?
They have some important points. They argue that even though globalization can lead to economic growth, not everyone benefits equally.
Like some countries and people do really well, while others are left behind.
Yeah, exactly. Which can lead to more inequality within countries and between them.
But isn't it a good thing if developing nations can boost their economies through trade? By exporting more, I mean.
It can be, yeah. In a lot of cases, it has been. But critics worry about exploitation of workers in countries where labor standards might not be as strong.
So it's a trade-off. You have to weigh the benefits of economic growth against the potential risks to workers and the environment.
Right. And the anti-globalization movement, they also point out that globalization can lead to job losses in developed countries when companies move their operations overseas looking for cheaper labor.
Which can be really tough for the people who lose their jobs.
Mm.
It's not just numbers on a spreadsheet. It's people's livelihoods.
Absolutely. And we can't forget about the environmental impact either. More global trade means more shipping, more production, more consumption, and all of that can contribute to pollution and using up resources too quickly.
So we've got all these interconnected economies, right? Driven by technology, multinational corporations, and this desire for efficiency. But there are some pretty serious potential downsides. How does all of this impact the average person? Like, what does it actually mean for us?
Well, globalization touches almost every part of our lives, doesn't it? From the clothes we wear, to the food we eat, to the jobs we have. It's created this world where what happens in one place can have ripple effects all over, for good or bad.
Speaking of ripple effects, how does globalization tie into something as big as, like, a global recession? Thinking about the 2008 financial crisis, didn't that start with mortgages in the U.S.?
It did, yeah. And what's really interesting is how financial globalization played a role in making that crisis even bigger. How everything is connected, you know, financial markets, I mean.
Okay, so explain this to me. Like, I'm still trying to figure out what securitization actually means.
Okay, imagine taking a bunch of mortgages, some riskier than others, and bundling them together into a package, this financial product, right? Then these packages are divided up and pieces are sold to investors all over the world.
So it's like everyone was betting on these bundles of mortgages, hoping to make a profit.
Basically, yeah. But the problem was that many of those mortgages were what they call subprime, meaning they were given to people who were less likely to be able to pay them back.
And when those borrowers started defaulting, missing their payments, the whole thing fell apart.
Exactly. Those financial products, they lost value fast, led to huge losses for banks and investors everywhere. And because everything was so interconnected, the crisis spread quickly.
Wow. So globalization makes it possible to have all this interconnectedness in trade, but it also means that one problem, one bad apple, can really mess things up globally.
Yeah, that's one of the big takeaways here. Globalization can have unintended consequences, good and bad. It's powerful, and it shapes our world in huge ways. Understanding how it all works is really important if we want to deal with the challenges and the opportunities that come with it.
Okay, so we've been talking about this whole idea of globalization, how it works, what drives it, and how being so interconnected can be both, exciting and risky. It makes you wonder what's next.
That's the big question, isn't it? It's like we're at this crossroads. We've got this well-traveled road of globalization ahead of us, but there are also these new paths starting to
New
appear.
paths. Now you've got me curious. What kind of paths are we talking about? Is globalization like ending?
I don't think it's ending exactly. More like shifting, maybe even rethinking how it all works. If you think about 2022,
Oh yeah, 2022. It felt like the whole world was kind of holding its breath.
right, is a real wake-up call.
The pandemic really threw a wrench in the whole global trade system, didn't it? Empty shelves, everyone scrambling for like masks and hand sanitizer.
Yeah, it exposed how fragile those long, complicated supply chains actually are.
Countries realizing that they were relying too much on others for, well, for really important things.
Exactly, even basic necessities sometimes.
It's like suddenly realizing your pantry is empty right when a big storm hits.
Yeah, a perfect analogy. Suddenly that local grocery store seems a lot more important than those fancy fruits from halfway across the world.
Right. So the pandemic forced countries to rethink things like how to be more self-sufficient.
Right. We saw this big push for domestic production, more focus on resilience, less dependence on those long, vulnerable supply chains.
Like hitting the pause button on globalization and saying, wait a minute, what are our priorities here?
Exactly. And then, right as the world was starting to recover from the pandemic, there was another big shock, the war in Ukraine.
Oh, right. Energy prices went through the roof, especially in Europe. They were really dependent on Russia for natural gas, right?
Yeah. The war made it really clear how political tensions could mess up global energy markets, cause shortages, prices going crazy.
It showed how risky it can be to rely too much on one country for something so important.
For anything essential, really, resources, goods. And this realization is leading to, well, some people call it globalization or deglobalization,
Reading.
meaning that countries are being more careful about who they trade with.
Putting their own interests first.
Yeah, it seems like the pendulum is swinging back a bit from that hyper-globalization we saw before.
But is this a temporary thing? Or is something bigger happening?
That's what everyone's trying to figure out. There are good arguments on both sides. Some people think globalization is just too powerful to reverse, that technology, economic integration, the need for efficiency, it's all going to keep pushing us towards more interconnectedness.
So they think globalization will bounce back.
Yeah. Maybe in a slightly different form. But then there are others who think we're seeing a much bigger shift towards a more regionalized world or a multipolar world.
Multipolar.
Meaning that power isn't concentrated in just a few countries or blocks. It's more spread out. They point to the growing tension between the US and China.
Oh, right. That's a big one. It feels like we're in a new era of competition between these big powers. But it's playing out in different ways, right? Trade wars, technology races.
It's definitely a complex situation. And it's changing all the time. This rivalry is affecting everything: global trade, investments. Companies are feeling the pressure to diversify, to not be so reliant on any one country, especially China.
So we might start seeing that made in China label less and less.
It's possible some companies are reshoring, bringing production back to their home countries. Others are nearshoring, moving to countries that are closer.
It's like everyone is trying to adapt to this new world order.
Exactly. And it's not just about economics anymore. Political stability, regulations, even shared values, those are all becoming really important factors.
So businesses have a lot more to think about now. It's not just about finding the cheapest labor or the most efficient way to make things anymore.
Exactly. The rules are changing, and everyone is scrambling to keep up.
It really feels like we're at this turning point. Like the future of globalization is, well, it's up in the air. On the one hand, you've got these forces pushing for more interconnectedness, more efficiency. On the other hand, there are all these worries about resilience, security, national interests.
You've summed it up perfectly. It's a balancing act. And the decisions we make now, well, they're going to have a huge impact on the world for years to come.
Okay, so we've talked about how globalization has evolved, about its pros and cons, and about all these things pushing us towards maybe a turning point. But the big question is, what happens next?
Right. It's like we're at this fork in the road and we have to choose which way to go. And those choices are going to have a big impact on the future.
So let's try to imagine what those paths look like. Like, what about the people who believe that globalization is here to stay, that all this stuff we're seeing is just temporary? What's their argument?
Well, they say that globalization has brought a lot of good things, like economic growth, technological advancements, things that wouldn't have happened without it. They think that pulling back from global markets would be a mistake
Because.
because it could lead to, well, higher prices for one, less innovation, and slower economic growth overall.
It's true that globalization has helped a lot of people, like lifting people out of poverty, connecting people from all over the world. But then you have the other side, the people who think that maybe the way globalization has been working, it's not sustainable. What are they saying?
They're calling for a new model, something that's more balanced, equitable, sustainable, not necessarily getting rid of globalization altogether, just changing it.
So, like, not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but maybe finding a better bathtub.
Ha, I like that. Yeah, they're looking for a more responsible, more inclusive way of doing things, one that prioritizes people and the environment, not just profits. They want to see stronger regulations, fairer trade deals, and more international cooperation.
To deal with things like climate change and inequality.
Exactly. So it's about finding that middle ground, a way to keep the benefits of global interconnectedness, while minimizing the risks and making sure everyone benefits.
This is a lot to think about. There are so many factors involved. So where do we go from here? What can regular people do to like make sense of it all?
Well, I think the first step is to just to stay informed, to learn about globalization, to understand the impact of our choices. As consumers, as voters, as investors.
Right, we can't just ignore it. We need to be aware of what's happening, do our research, and participate in the conversation
Yeah.
about what kind of future we want to build.
Exactly. And we can choose to support businesses and policies that match our values. We can speak up for fair trade, responsible supply chains, and investing in sustainable development.
So it's about being mindful of the choices we make
Yeah.
and using our voices to push for a better world.
Well said. Globalization isn't just some abstract concept. It affects all of us, and we all have a role to play in shaping it.
This deep dive has been really fascinating. I feel like we've only scratched the surface, but it's given me a lot to think about.
That's what we hope for. A deep dive is just the beginning. It's about sparking curiosity, getting people interested in learning more.
So, as we wrap up, what's the key message for our listeners? What do you want them to walk away with?
I think the most important message is that the future of globalization, it's not predetermined. We're all shaping it every day. By understanding how it all works and by making conscious choices, we can help create a world that's more equitable, more sustainable for everyone.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of globalization. We hope you'll keep exploring this topic. It's complex, it's constantly evolving, but it's something that affects us all. And we all have a part to play in shaping its future. Until next time.